Hey, everybody. Hello, 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 and welcome in. It is time for Three Guys Before the Game, the post-bowl game edition. Oh, yeah, we're back. You know why? Because it doesn't matter if there's not another game. There's always another game. Thanks so much, baby. We're here.
This is it.
Preview of West Virginia, Tennessee. It starts right now. We're wasting no time. Please welcome members of the panel with us here. The beloved senator. He's wearing the sweater. That's Brad Howe. And with his Christmas shirt on, the dean, Hoppy Kirchhoff. Hello, fellas. How are we?
Great. Hello, Tony.
Welcome back.
Good. Thank you very much. We record less than 24 hours after West Virginia's decisive loss in the, what was the name of it? The Heart of Dallas,
Zaxby's Texas, Heart of Dallas
Texas,
Bowl.
Dallas Bowl, Texas thing. Oof. Been to a lot of bowl games, and that was one of them. You know, you can, did not have good organization.
Oh, really? The bowl itself?
Yeah, it was just not there. It was just not. Here's how you knew that it was not a well-organized bowl. Before a game starts, they issue to the media flip cards, as you know. And it's a big card on 11 by 17, and it's got the rosters numerically for each team down the sides. And then in the middle, it has the team, some significant information, coach, years that he's been there. And then it has your schedule of the season and your record. So I picked it up, and I was looking at the West Virginia schedule there on the record. One problem, that wasn't West Virginia's schedule. It was North Texas, who was in the bowl game last year. They never changed it out.
Well, that fits, because West Virginia gave the same performance it gave last year. It didn't change anything out either. So that's appropriate.
Solid point.
Should have gone to the Bahamas Bowl, where the clock didn't work and people were walking in the gates with 12 packs of beer.
Well, they had a fine time in the Bahamas.
They did.
Everybody had a great time there.
The weather was
weather.
Good. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where shall we jump in on this thing here?
Well, did you want to go ahead and talk about it? I think West Virginia has a huge advantage. Jeremy Pruitt in his first game as Tennessee head coach. I think that's going to be a real advantage for West Virginia.
No, we're going to talk about this game from yesterday before we move ahead to Tennessee.
I'm sorry. I thought we'd moved ahead to next year already. My bad.
No.
Go ahead.
So jump
reset.
In. So Kirchhoff tells me that you're not suffering through the loss.
Well, no, let me put it this way. No. Because I had such low expectations for this team in this particular game to begin with that I'm not necessarily shocked. Now, I am surprised that it was such a bad performance, but I thought this was going to be a West Virginia loss. Listen, as we all know, this team is completely different without Will Grier at quarterback. You saw that against Oklahoma. So I just didn't have real high expectations for this game in the first place.
But your predicted score was 31-24.
Okay.
And it was a 30-6 game. Okay, they got a touchdown late. It was a 30-6 game.
30-14 is the score. I see.
I know what the final score
was. Well, if you're going to hold me to my prediction, then be accurate. It's 30-14.
Okay, 30-14. So West Virginia did not come anywhere close to what your prediction was.
10 points? I thought that was a pretty good prognostication. I was only 10 points off. Listen, West Virginia was awful. I don't know how many different ways we can say it. We spent 9 hours yesterday saying how bad of a performance it was. Chris Chuganoff was not good. This offensive line was not good. The receivers didn't do anything to help. The offensive game plan left some questions out there. I mean, there was nothing good or redeeming about this game from a West Virginia perspective. All I'm saying is that didn't surprise me, and there's not much to talk about
game. You have to be surprised at how poorly the offense performed, even given the caveats about the players that weren't there. Look, not having those key players on offense explains why West Virginia lost. It doesn't explain why West Virginia's offense was humiliated.
West Virginia couldn't throw it against Oklahoma. Chris Chuganoff was 10 of 20 against the Sooners, which probably didn't even have as good a defense here as Utah had up front. So I don't know that I'm overly surprised by that.
Let me give you a couple stats, though, and tell me if this doesn't stand out to you. West Virginia, of course, they had the one drive, best drive of the day in the first half, where they got a field goal, drove 67 yards. Second half, they had the late drive, very late in the game. Okay, they got a touchdown on that. 15 possessions total. 13 possessions. The other 13 possessions, they got 11 yards. The other 13 possessions, they got 11 yards. 37 plays in those 13 possessions for an average of 0.3 yards per play. That's as bad as you can be.
It was anemic.
It's not anemic. It's worse than anemic. It was humiliating.
But last year, with your starting quarterback and all of your people with you, you weren't too far off from that against a Miami team.
I'll have to go back and check. I didn't check on that. But
two yards a carry last year in the Miami game. Skylar Howard throws for 140 some last year against Miami. So you saw that last year. I just think this. I think it's two separate discussions. If you want to have a discussion with me about two straight years where you just didn't show up and compete in a bowl game, okay, put that over here and have that discussion. If you want to have a discussion about your backups, there's a tremendous drop-off from the starters to the backups, okay, I think that's a discussion. But are you asking me if I'm surprised by that performance? I don't know, I am shocked.
All right, let's take that aside. So you're not surprised, but I think it is wildly disappointing or severely disappointing and somewhat humiliating how West Virginia's offense got pushed around in that game. West Virginia, I know you got backups in there, but you always think of West Virginia's blue collar, punch in the mouth. They got absolutely manhandled in that game. And when you think about an offense, and even though you got backups in there, you got some time to prepare, and in 13 of the 15 possessions, you got 11 yards. That's why I come back to the term humiliating.
It was in that regard. But if you pull it apart, you can see why. Center Matt Jones is young, and he is not at this level yet ready to be a headline player at the center spot. To his right, the right side guard, Kyle Bosch, is gone. Grant Lingefelter, a fifth-year senior who had very few starts in his career, was next to him. He was unable to get it done. Over on the other side, the left side tackle, Kelby Wickline, was not ready to play at that level of a game against that type of a defense, and it showed. So when they can run through you consistently with that ease, you can see why that happens. But, yeah, with you, I'm kind of in that Brad category. I was finding it a difficult way to think of how they were going to score 30 points, but I thought that they would be more capable. I thought that they would be more successful, and they were just pushed back.
You thought that they were not – I mean, if I had told you until that last drive West Virginia will get 3 first downs – you would not believe that.
No.
You would say, oh, no, they'll get 12.
Yeah. David Sills being held without a catch the entire game. Yeah. I wouldn't buy that.
But you could
either.
That's kind of pregame talk there. Once that started, I mean, it only took a couple plays to see, uh-oh, this undermanned offensive line for West Virginia, which I think we could have the discussion. It may have been average all season at best. We saw Will Grier scrambling for his life a bunch this season. So you take an average unit that loses two of its guys. I don't know that there should have been expectations, and you could see that early. That Utah defensive line was much better than what West Virginia rolled out for an offensive line. So in pregame, yeah, I think that's right. You didn't expect necessarily to have 3 first downs or whatever the heck that stat was you just gave. But the fact early when you saw that and you saw guys getting planted and pancaked, then you could say, uh-oh, this could be a very long day for this offense because it is not at all what we saw offensively earlier in the season.
Yeah, and they throw in the fact that Chuganoff got hit early, lost his confidence, passes started to sail. He had a couple of times. He had open guys.
Yeah, he did.
And he couldn't deliver because, why? Because that intimidation factor had already entered in there, and he didn't want to get cracked again. But you're right. Will Grier is tough. Will Grier, you're right, was very elusive in the pocket this season, stretched plays, made plays, a whirling dervish at times, and you had none of that. And that obviously cost them. As far as the defense goes, they give up the big 58-yard run to Zach Moss to start the game. After that, the defense allowed less than 4 yards per play. Did the defense play well enough to win that game?
Yes.
That's the question. I'd say yes.
Maybe, yeah.
And had Will Grier been there the entire game, I would have loved to watch that game played with a healthy Will Grier.
You know, the other thing is, I think the defense did play well enough to win. Okay, they gave up a big play. Well, that happens sometimes. I mean, the other team makes a play. They went to unbalanced. West Virginia did not adjust. Moss is a pretty good back. He ran for 53 yards. The other touchdown, you don't put on the defense because it was a muff punt, and you give them the ball deep in West Virginia territory. So I thought the defense, I thought, we talked about this earlier, is that in Gibson's Gibson's post-game interview, you could actually hear relief. Obviously disappointed they lost the game, but Brad, coming off that Oklahoma game, he was angry, he was depressed, and you could hear the relief in his voice as to how his defense played in that game.
Yeah, because at least if you're Tony Gibson, and listen, let's not confuse Utah's offense with Oklahoma's offense.
No.
So part of why the defense was better is because Utah is just, quite frankly, not very talented on offense outside of Moss and Huntley making a few plays. But that aside, I think if you're Tony Gibson, what you benefit from is you go into this offseason with a unit that got smoked in its last game, at least you can hang your hat on this and look at it and say, all right, guys, with 8 starters returning next year, we did some good things, and you feel like the defense has a little bit of momentum pushing forward. The offense has no momentum. The only thing you're saying about offense is, oh, thank God Will Greer's back. So the defense is in a different spot heading into the offseason than the offense is, in my mind. So I think that's where Tony Gibson benefits.
Well, let's jump into that then and start looking ahead. You made your point on the defense. How good can this defense be with 8 starters returning?
I think you have to have an expectation that it's in the upper 1, 2, 3 in this league. I think we've seen Tony Gibson's group be able to do that when it has guys returning that understand this offense. You've got some playmakers back. David Long, we know. Kenny Robinson, we know, just to name a few. Dylan Tonkery seemed to improve throughout the season. And I think maybe most importantly, you return, what, 8 of 9 defensive linemen? I think that could be monumental for a unit that got pushed around a lot this year to return those guys. They took their lumps. You bring them back. I think you've got to have really high expectations on the defense in particular next year.
Okay, so
don't you agree?
I mean, 100%.
Right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Let's jump ahead now to West Virginia's offense. As mentioned, yes, Will Greer will be back. David Sills will be back. Gary Jennings will be back at all. Those guys, a lot of familiar faces. Kennedy McCoy returns. Martell Pettaway returns. But where does that leave us? 4 out of 5 offensive starters. 4 out of 5 offensive line starters will come back. So what should the expectations be for this offense? I think people are getting ahead on this one.
You don't have to say people. You can go ahead and say me. You think I'm getting ahead. I don't. I think this is a Big 12 championship caliber West Virginia team, and I think that for 2 reasons. All the things we just outlined there with all of the returners. I think that expectations on this offense should be sky high, and as I just said, I think the defensive expectations should be high. Coupled with what this league loses, a Heisman Trophy winner at Oklahoma, gone. Mason Rudolph, gone. Kenny Hill, a multi-year starter at TCU, gone. I think this is the best opportunity West Virginia has had, given what it has back and what this league loses. This is the time for West Virginia to go win the league, get into a Big 12 championship game. You've had time now. You've got an experienced coach. You've got guys back at nearly every position. If not next year, when, Tony? I mean, I have these expectations about as high as you can put them.
You do, and I think you make a good point of if not next year, then when. But I think based on the bowl performance, based on a season where you won 7 games, but you win how many quarters your great stat is of not scoring any points? 15?
15.
15 quarters of not scoring any points. Yep. That you got to have a – I would temper that with some wait and see. You know, I would not be all – I understand what the expectation should be based on who is back and based on Dana being in his 8th year and based on everybody that's lost in the Big 12. But they have yet to prove – this coaching staff has yet to prove that they can get you to the championship level.
Well, heck, but I think you can say – somebody's got to win the league. And you could say that about every program in there. And don't give me Oklahoma, although that's the default I know because they win it about every year. But Lincoln Riley still hasn't shown he can do it without the Heisman Trophy winner.
I understand.
So I think every school in this league has significant questions. Texas is still potentially a long way away. I think there's fewer question marks around this West Virginia team than anybody else in this league. This is the time. I don't know what you'd be waiting on.
Well, I think one thing this team needs to add, in addition to the tangible items in regard to personnel, is the intangible items. The great teams, the championship teams, have what?
They have great leadership. They have team unity. Mm-hmm. They have all parts clicking. Okay, and I just don't think you've seen over the 7 years, except for the Orange Bowl, and on the first year, I just don't think you've seen a time where everything came together. There always has seemed to be some sort of deficiency that keeps you from excelling beyond just the average expectation. And I think that's what gives me pause, is you just haven't seen a Holgorsen team go out there and have the kind of, you go, whoa, my gosh, they did these amazing, it hasn't happened yet.
Well, so you're right, but it's almost like you're taking a will it or won't it versus should it. So kind of reframe your discussion.
I'm not saying it should.
I'm saying it should. All those things you guys just said have to come to fruition. You have to avoid injuries. I know all that. I mean, we've sat around and watched West Virginia football for a long time. It's hard to find years where you've had the stars align so much they will next year. So I'm saying should.
I agree with the should, which puts more pressure on the will question.
Sure, okay? Sure does.
if I were them, I'd spend an inordinate amount of time in the offseason building team chemistry, team building. There was a rift this season between those running backs and Will Greer.
Correct.
They were bummed out that he was checking plays off at the line and not handing the ball off and rather throwing the ball. You get that going. Could that have been one of the reasons why Crawford decided to bag it? Could be. Can't have that. Championship teams don't have that.
Well, if they have it, they have enough leadership that it gets suppressed, okay, that it gets dealt with, okay? So because there's going to be conflict, the question is, how's the conflict dealt with? I thought it was interesting in the postgame comment, Tony Gibson in the fourth quarter, even though West Virginia's offense can't do anything, he tells the defense, get up off the bench and cheer the offense. I mean, Gibson, I think, does a good job of bringing units together. And you have, like you said, Tony, you have to have those things. Those are things you check the box on. And if you don't have that, it's going to cost you a game or two.
Well, and here's the other thing. Speaking of intangibles, this team's going to have to figure out how to handle this pressure. Will Greer is going to get a ton of offseason publicity. How does he handle that in particular?
Right.
David Sills comes back with a monumental season. I mean, it's going to be virtually impossible for Sills to duplicate those numbers, yet his ceiling is going to be set so high. Those are just individuals. Never mind what I'm saying. The national media
exactly.
is going to get around this pretty soon because West Virginia, mark it down, is going to be the sexy pick. It's easy to say Oklahoma because they win it most years. The off-the-radar pick for these national guys that want to seem like they're more in tune than anybody else is going to be West Virginia. Watch that. How does this group handle that?
That's a great point. And you know from past experiences at West Virginia, like the Major Harris years going back and some other players, is that those things, Tony, can be a huge distraction. All of a sudden, Sports Illustrated is doing a story or you're on ESPN and then the other players see that. Why is this guy getting all this attention? I mean, that is very, very difficult to handle, especially in this era of 24/7 news/sports. So it can be a gigantic distraction.
And it will begin right from the start because you're going to play Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a tremendous amount of preseason hype about that game. Now you go out there and you win that kind of a game. Then you're rolling and everyone feels like, hey, this is us, this is our, and you play better. If you lose that game, or if you lose one early, maybe NC State, the third week of the season, that's when teams start to go a little bit sideways.
They wobble. I'll give you an example. I mean, go back to 98. This is kind of 98-esque. That team was loaded with pros, preseason top 15, but you got number one Ohio State to start. That was a make-or-break game. Don Nealon says to this
day, never recovered.
That loss, that team never recovered, won eight games or whatever it did, went out to the Insight Bowl. That is a similar situation here. Tennessee's not as good as Ohio State was in that situation, but this is not a 1AA FCS opponent to open the season. It's a big boy program. But the upside's really there. You're right. If you win this, you talk about being on the national radar,
sure.
You're way out in front.
I mean, you have a lot of upside in that. I think that if you want, of course, they're not league games, but I think you can lose one of those, okay? And you're going to be so highly ranked, probably, you can lose one of those and still be okay. So, just that. I think you can. Now, if you win both, then you're red hot. You're absolutely red hot. You're smoking hot. But you could lose one.
Sure. And to put a ribbon around it then, so it is going to be one of those years in college football, college athletics as a whole, it cycles. Some years you're going like, oh, we got to get a new quarterback in there. This is going to be one of those harvest years. We're in the off season. You already know that you've got a beautiful, beautiful quarterback ready to go. You've got receivers that have proven they can catch the ball. You've got at least offensive linemen healthy that have played a lot of snaps.
Right.
You've got a defense that's got a lot of guys that have played a lot of snaps and are only going to get better in the off season through spring and then into the fall, where the Lamont McDougals of the world aren't true freshmen anymore. The guy's taking a ton of snaps. He'll be a baby sophomore, right? So it's all there. Billy Kinney's there. Plus, we got an Aussie punter coming. Evan Staley is going to be back. Plus, they also got another kicker that's coming. So all the pieces are there. Now the question is, can you polish yourself to get it done?
Well, and I'll give you another comparison. This is basically Oklahoma State going into this past season, but you don't have Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield sitting out there. Now, Oklahoma State couldn't handle it. They couldn't live up to it, but that's a group that thought, all right, we've got our quarterback. We've got our Heisman candidate here. We've got a chance to make a run at this title, and they couldn't come through. They lost early to TCU. But I look at this West Virginia group as being like last year's Oklahoma State team. That group just couldn't handle it.
All right. That's the end for the football conversation. Now, Hoppy, there's another one. It's Orange and a guy named Naismith created it to give the guys something to do.
I heard about that.
During the winter up there at the Springfield, Massachusetts YMCA. And they go like this with it, and it bounces right back up. Basketball. Basketball.
You want me to tune into basketball?
I think, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just short answer, right, well, yes. We'd like you to watch.
Can you make a commitment? Can you make a commitment? I know you got the legislative session, so you'll be here like on Mondays so we can keep going?
Sure, I'll make a commitment.
Yeah, and you don't have to bring stats. You were heavy stat laden during football with a lot of
prep.
I have
to be because
you don't have to be at that level of prep. We just want you to have fun here with the basketball.
Well, I want to have fun, but I want to come with some facts. I can't sit and go, boy. I mean, you got
to. No, we just want
to have. I don't see the game. I didn't play the game, so I don't see the game like you guys. So I have to come with stats. I have to come with.
No, we just want Hoppy to be Hoppy. Like, you can throw in, like, legislative bills and things like that during the conversation.
We don't want to overburden you with more work, is
no,
what I'm
we
saying.
Just want you to be here.
You don't have to prepare like you for football.
You guys are very kind to invite me.
No, we just want you to be here. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, I mean, I follow you. I watch. I'm going to tune in. I think there's, you know, I really like what I've seen so far. I really like these guys. I mean, I like the way Javon Carter plays, and I love the fact that when the way they play defense, I love it when the other team picks up the dribble at the wrong time, and the officials will not bail him out.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. Then you can get all over him.
Yeah.
You know, you can foul him, take the ball away from him.
Give it to me. Yeah. And real quick, pushing ahead, Javon Carter versus Oklahoma's Trey Young coming up in what, 9-10 days?
Yeah, Saturday, the first Saturday of January at night. They just listed the game as a sellout.
I don't think I'm overselling this to say that's the best individual matchup of the college basketball season to date, and it may be all season.
Absolutely
true. National Defensive Player of the Year against a guy that right now may be the Player of the Year?
Yep.
Ooh, that should be fun.
Can't ask for anything more. And we're going to find out really quick here with the Mountaineers. They play Friday, and then they play Monday, two on the road. You got to win these games, man. West Virginia has...
You got to win both?
Yes. Yeah.
You built a tradition here starting the season in league play. They give us two road games every year while the students aren't around. And we've just been going in there and it's been like cash. It's been like going to the ATM and go, oh, here's two wins. See you later. It's going to be hard. Oklahoma State, a lot of people thought they would just be
right
after Brett Underwood left. Right. All of a sudden, they're winning and beat Florida State, gave them their first loss of the season, and they're going. Carroll's one of the best players in the league, and then K-State.
But, okay, let me just, since I don't know anything.
Oh, absolutely.
But aren't you really playing? You guys are focused on individual matchups and games. Aren't you really playing to whether you're a 2 or a 4 seed in the show?
Well, I'll answer that first, then you can go. Probably yes. So, but I think West Virginia has a team this year that is capable of winning a Big 12 title and knocking Kansas off that, what's it been, 14 straight years. I think West Virginia is in a little different spot this year. This is one of those times where you say, all right, this might be a team that can knock them off. For the most part, yes, that's normally right. I think this year's an exception.
And the super intriguing thing about this season is that although Christmas was just a couple of days ago, for some weird reason, this season the Mountaineers get to unwrap this massive Christmas present in the middle of January, and it's Issa Ahmad.
Yeah.
And like he'll come out of the box and go like, I'm here. What does that mean to this team? What will that mean? What will the West Virginia record be by the time he becomes eligible at Texas Tech? That'll be really fun to see because he's needed.
It feels like he's coming at a good time.
It does.
West Virginia has done fantastically well without him, but it feels like this team could use a boost.
Got to have him. Yeah. Got to have him. And considering the fact that Kansas just got another guy. Like Kansas, like it's like monster.com.
Free agent signing.
Yeah, free agent signing.
Got into a 10-day contract here.
And you know what? He's going to be eligible the 28th of December. And he's like 7'7 and 295 pounds.
Major League Baseball in August. You know, to get a guy in here to help out.
Yeah, right? They got the trading deadline here. Yeah. They made some moves. Bolster the roster.
They always find a way to do it. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. Hope your holidays continue strong. We're back, and we're not going away. Three guys before the game. Thanks for being with us, everyone. For the Dean, for the Senator, we are out of here.